we're going to celebrate our Jesus and his love for us. We're going to celebrate his words that are given for us to hide and treasure in our own hearts. And we're going to continue in the Beatitudes. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8 this morning. We've been walking through these. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and that it will continue to be a blessing to you. And if you will, please stand with me this morning in honor of God's word. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Father, we thank you so much that you love us and that you teach us your ways. Lord, you take a heart that is just full of darkness and sin, and you cleanse it. And Lord, you forgive it every day. And you show us how we should work to make our hearts pure in your eyes. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen us for that task. It is so easy to see sin in others and not see it in ourselves. Lord, it's a problem with our heart. Help us and strengthen us again to begin where the work really needs to start, within ourselves. Lord, we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, how many of you in here today think that you have a pure heart? I know that all of us struggle with life and the things in life because God tells us that we will continue to struggle in life. And he wouldn't have said, take up your cross daily and follow me, if he wasn't saying to us, you're going to have trial and tribulation. You're going to have to deal with yourself, because nobody's carrying the cross for you but you. That's why you take it up. Now, he'll help you. He'll strengthen you. But he shows you how to make that cross smaller, what to work on within so that you're not burdened with who you are so much and so often. And really, the place to begin is with the heart. Jesus will go on to teach in just a little bit further along in this chapter that it is murder which begins in the heart. It is adultery which begins in the heart. He says we have to love our enemies. How can we love our enemies if we don't have our heart in the right place? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You already know this is hard, don't you? This is a hard walk in life, but God gives it to us anyway. He says, do it. Work on it. Strive with this every day. Work on making yourself pure. A lot of people will depend on their hearts getting them into heaven because they're good people. You can't have a good heart in the eyes of God unless it's first been cleansed by Jesus, that your sins have been washed away, that forgiveness is upon you because of your faith and your profession in Jesus Christ. Just having a good heart in life is not enough. I see people a lot of times, I see them doing good things for other people, and I might think to myself, boy, that's a good person. But is that a saved person? See, there's a difference, isn't there? The difference between being saved and being good. Not all good people are saved, and not all saved people are good. It is a struggle every day. And this is something we need to work on. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 15, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. You must speak the truth of who you are from within your own heart before you can ever take the first step. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need help. I need forgiveness. I need Jesus Christ. I'm lost without him. I can't live my life without him. I need his compassion, and I need to learn what he has to say to me about being his disciple. That's what all of these Beatitudes are about. Learning how to be the right disciple in the eyes of God. Being the person who lives a life that shows God is in us and promotes God among us and around us to those who might not know. Those who might be struggling a moment in their life, though they believe they have stepped off the edge and taken a fall. You've seen that before, haven't you? Haven't you seen Christians you couldn't believe they did what they just did? Just take a drive down Avalon Boulevard Monday morning on the way to work. Because none of us are yet perfect. We're still being sanctified, working towards the day that we'll be glorified, which is promised in Christ Jesus. But that process of sanctification is rough. It's hard. But it is something that we strive for daily because we want to see God, don't we? How many of you want to see God today? Can I just get a raise of hand this morning? I want to see God. I want to see God in a good way. I don't want to be standing before God in judgment because I am not who I profess to be and I have not lived as I profess that I live and because I have not found life in Christ. I want to be that one that stands before God and he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to walk in life with hope and joy, knowing that not everything is perfect, but it's okay because God is with me. Cross gets heavy, but it's okay because God is with me. There's a goal in this for me. I want to see God. And I want to see a lot of you there too. I want to see all of you there. Don't you want to see every one of us there? I know if I left it at that, I want to see a lot of you there. Somebody had asked me, "Do you want to see me?" I'm not going to mention anybody, Tim. But there's a lot of us. Happy birthday. I hope you have two. I apologize for that. But it's okay to laugh, isn't it? To have a little fun. Fellowship, that's what this is, fellowship. But we want to be what God wants us to be. It begins by working on our hearts. And when our hearts are right, we will begin to see God. When we learn how to speak the truth in our heart, it begins by revealing to ourselves we need help every day. We need strengthening every day. We need to ask for forgiveness every day. It is showing a devoted following to God when we can do these things. Because if we're honest, every day that we wake up, we should wake up and say, "Well, Lord, you got trouble here today. I'm still under construction. Look at all these nails laying around over here." Are we pure in heart? That's what it boils down to. Will we see God? Will I stand before God one day and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Do I have to wait until I'm in heaven before I see God? Now see, this is where I want to take you this morning, because we all want to see God, but do you know that you can see God before you get to heaven? There are ways that you can see God in this life, in your own life, every day. You can see God working. You can see God moving. You can see God bringing joy. You can see him bringing peace, comfort, and compassion, and healing. You can see these things if you learn how to see God, because you're working on the purity of your heart. And the purity of your heart leads you into the presence of God. And so then you learn how to see him. So how do you get to these places where you can see God? And in what circumstances might I be able to see God? Not just in heaven, but here in this life. Well, first, let me tell you, you got to start by studying His Word. You got to have fellowship with God through His Word. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If we fellowship with the word of God, he will make himself known to us. We will find his comfort. We will find his peace. We will have joy. It surpasses all understanding for those who don't know and can't see and can't experience it. But for those who are saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. I can sit down sometimes and read the scripture. It's not every time, but it is when I need it. I can sit down in a moment of emotional distress and just find something that God whispers to me in His Word because He knows I need it. Now, I'm not in distress every time I read the Scripture. How about you? But you know, even when I'm not in distress, I'm still growing because God is showing me things. He is opening me to understanding who He is better every day. My spirit in Him is getting stronger. His spirit in me is getting stronger. My faith is beginning to blossom. When people see the faith growing and blossoming like it should be, we are bearing the fruit that God has given us to bear. We're here to bear fruit, right? But you know, we're part of the vine. We are not the vine. We are part of the vine. We are a branch. The vine gives us life, and the vine is Jesus Christ. And the fruit that comes from us is wonderful for those who partake, for those that we allow to partake. And you know what? We don't have a sign up in front of us saying, keep off the lawn. Don't eat the fruit, you dirty heathen. You know, Christians do that, though, don't we? We draw lines and boundaries. We say, I'm not having anything to do with him. I'm not even going to be in her presence. This person over here, and then again, people will say, Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. They haven't done anything to you before they did it to Christ. And neither have you, by the way. How many of us are without sin? But by the grace of God, there go I. And God is loving all of us in creation, not because of who we are, but because of who we might be. And it's the same call upon our life, to love not because of who people are, but because of who people might be. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what else have you done that heathen neighbor has done? Nothing. Working on our heart is where we must begin. There's a lot of things in my heart that want to keep me from doing things here or there or with a lot of people. But God says, you got to break those walls down. Because he's not just reaching out to those who are well. Physician, they don't need a physician, do they? He came for those who are sick. Those who are lost in sin. Those who are dirty, rotten scoundrels, whether in the church or outside the church, he's looking for all of us because we all have those same characteristics. We've got to learn to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if you are trying to see God in your life and the movement of God in your life, don't look for it for just his movement in you, but look for his movement through you and around you. And you'll begin to grow closer to him by studying his word. Stay in his word. Jesus and his Father will make their home with you. The Spirit will go stronger in you and will guide you where God needs you to be so you can show God's love and show it the way it needs to be shown. Through fellowship in the Word and the Spirit, we can see God in this world today. You know, you can see God in this world today through, what would I call it? I would call it supernatural experience. How many of you have ever had a supernatural experience with God? I'm talking about on a mission trip or a witnessing moment with someone that you didn't know. I've had a few of these. It's a wonderful thing to see someone come to Christ. I never will forget these two ladies in Romania. I had the opportunity to go to Romania for a two-week mission trip. And we were there as a medical mission team. But there were some of us there who were just sharing the gospel of Christ before they ever got to the doctor. We had these translators. This guy that I had translating for me was 16 years old. You know, teenagers are hard-headed. And I'm sharing the gospel with these two ladies. They're two sisters, by the way. Probably around 60-ish, 55 to 60 age range. And they're sitting there and they're listening to me like, okay, whatever. And I can't understand what my translator's saying because I didn't wake up speaking Romanian when I landed over there. And so I just turned around and I asked him, I said, are you telling them what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I'm explaining it to them. I said, no, I'm not asking you to explain anything. I'm asking you to share it word for word as best as you can word for word what I'm saying. Oh, but they won't understand it. Oh, you see, now we got a problem. We're not letting the Spirit work because we got this. I told him if he couldn't translate word for word, then I would find another translator. He said, okay, let me try again. I started over. And we weren't even 2 minutes into the conversation, and these two ladies were holding hands, leaning forward and weeping. And when I finished sharing the gospel and asked them what would prevent them from finding salvation in Christ right now, they said, we thought you would never ask. We thought you would never ask. You know, that's a God thing. And when you are sharing God in the way God intends himself to be shared, plainly and clearly according to his word, and not just because we think you might understand it a little better this way, sometimes we drift off the mark when we begin to compromise God's word. We begin to accept things that aren't really things that God finds acceptable, or say things that God didn't really give us to say. We have to stay true to God's word, and God will make his home with us. And his Spirit will be with us. And we can see him do some wonderful things in this world, in the lives of others. You know, that's an impact for me too. I was just as happy as they were when they said, I didn't think you'd ever ask. Well, we prayed. We had a celebration. We can know God in this world by staying in his word. We can know God and see him move in this world through supernatural events, whether it's on a mission trip or whether it's in our own family at home. You don't have to go over there to tell somebody about Christ. You can stay here and tell somebody about Christ and see the same wonderful movement of God. But then there is the one that we all are so eager for. For that day that we get to see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, face to face. But just based on these first two things I've shared with you, can your heart get you into heaven right now? Has it got that shine of purity that comes from being in the Word, from walking in this world with God, to see him move and to share in the work that he's doing? Because being pure in heart means you will see God, but being pure in heart means that you are not just sitting at home with a picture of Jesus over the mantle saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this day." It means you'll be facing the world, carrying your cross. By the way, you know what your cross might be? The neighbor that's so mean to you. Pick it up and carry it. It might be a brother or a sister, and I say this, and I have this, that is so mean-spirited and so wrapped up in the evilness of the world, you can't hardly be around them. Try harder. Love harder. Pray harder. Whatever that cross might be, pick it up every day and carry it. And it might look different every day. It might be a different cross every day. But one of the things that should be on that cross every day is yourself. Because you want to be what God wants you to be. Because you want to see God. I'm not in this just for me. I'm in this to see God. I want to glorify God. You know how much He has glorified me and honored me through His Son, Jesus Christ? It wasn't because He needs me to be there. It's because He wants me to be there. I told y'all that. It's not because He wants or needs you to be there. He wants you to be there. That's a wonderful feeling, knowing that God wants you to be with Him. Wants you to be with Him. So much that He gave His Son to die for your sins. And having faith in Christ will lead you on a path to bring purity into your heart, so that you can see that wonderful day when we are all called home by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can experience Him in the world through His Word and through His Spirit. We can experience Him through those supernatural ways when we get to witness and see God moving and working. Just being there to see it is a wonderful thing. But the one thing that we are all so eagerly waiting is for the day that He calls us home. That day, then, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. In the twinkling of an eye, when we are called home to be with those who have gone on before us, because their faith has gotten them through, and the journey is complete. And then God says to the rest of us who are still here, it's time for you to come. It's time for you to come. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall meet with them and the Lord in the air. And we shall be changed. We shall be changed. You know, I know a lot of you are hoping you're going to look like you did when you were 20, but I can't make you that promise. I'd love to shed a few of those pounds I've put on since then myself. But I can tell you this. You will look good. You will look good. But can I tell you something else? You'll feel better than you look. You'll feel better than you look. Can I tell you something else? Nobody's going to take it away from you. Because God has called you home to rest in peace forever and ever. Amen. But it begins by knowing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm going to close with this last verse. Paul writes in Corinthians, because it's hard for us to imagine these things sometimes. But listen to what Paul says. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then, one day, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. What he is saying is it's something we can see, but it's like there's a fog between us and the full picture. We can only see the outline here and there. We can't see the detail. It's so dim, I can't see it. But the day is coming when I shall see it. And I shall see it in all of its glory. And I shall see it as I am also seen. Because now we are part of that glory. But it's only through the love that is found in Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of sins, and through our faith in Him every day. Do you have that saving faith? Do you have that faith that is making you pure in the eyes of God? Then celebrate. What a day we shall see. But if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I invite you to know Him today. What will prevent you from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? No one here. If you don't know Him, it's your own doing. God wants you. God's calling you. And I'm pleading with you. Today is the day. Will you come? Father, I thank you so much for this time that you have given to us. I thank you for the love and the mercy upon us, your compassion that is with us every day, and for the blessings of knowing you and having our hope in you and our life restored in you. And not just in this time, but in the time to come. Father, you give us hope. And we thank you so much that you have given us this hope. Help us to share and to carry that cross that you give us every day to honor you as you have honored us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?